thoughts are going away. That's fine.
Thank you.
I think you care.
I noticed Barbara is there too.
Yeah. Hi.
Are you going to attend heaven by telephone also?
Yeah, probably.
I thought so. I thought so. We haven't seen you in quite a while. I forgot what you look like. Okay, do that. Yeah. I'm going to turn the music off, because that way we can hear you.
Okay.
Are you there?
No, we're going to upstream.
I'm here.
Oh, okay. I thought I heard you call my name.
Oh, hi there.
Oh, okay. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good. Are you going to attend heaven by phone, too?
Say what?
Are you going to attend heaven by phone, too?
I'm not a nice man. I didn't hear it. You know how we come to class on the telephone, Mom?
Yes.
Well, he asked if we're going to attend, if we're going to be in heaven by phone, too.
Yes.
He'll ask if we're
going to
be in heaven by phone, too.
Oh, yes.
Rather than actually being there?
I can get there.
Yes.
Oh.
No, I'm not ready.
I'm
an ashen. There'll be no roaming charges. Roaming charges. Never more to roam.
No roaming charges. All right, so there's three prayer requests we have to remember today. The first one is Kelly. Kelly's the friend of the Jacob and Mrs. Grummer. She's having some health challenges. She's had stage 4 cancer, but then on top of that, she's got other things that are happening with her. And looks like they're not looking very hopeful for this situation with Kelly. And then we have another prayer request. Albert Severance is having some procedure done in his shoulder. Is it Tammy or
yeah,
the shoulder area? I'm not sure which one it is. He's got that done today, and I guess he's going to be recovering this weekend. And another one is a Haley. Is she had? I thought she had given birth to this little baby already.
It was false labor that she was.
But
in before.
It was false labor, and so.
She lives in Michigan.
I think she does. Yeah, and so she's walking around trying to encourage the little girl. I guess I had that memo wrong too. The little girl, I'm doing real well. The little girl wants to take a little nap or something, I suppose. And so she's not too eager to come.
She's warm and comfortable in there, so she wants to stay.
She is. And so, but she's supposed to be born sometime real soon. And so she's going to be born at home, I think. That's the plan, at least, if there's no complications with anything. And so those are three requests we have to remember to pray for.
May I add one, please?
Yes, go. What's yours, your request, Barbara?
For me, actually, because I'm back to not sleeping again.
No sleep. Okay.
Or not sleeping well.
That's not an excuse. There's no snow or ice on the ground now either. There's no reason why you shouldn't be here.
Okay, so I'm sorry that you're not sleeping very well, but we'll pray for that. You'll be able to get some sleep easily and in long periods of time as well. But let's open with prayer. Father, we do ask that it would allow us to understand the things thou hast written in thy word. Allow us to understand the direction you want us to take for our life and for the future. Help us to rely upon thy wisdom and not our own wisdom. We do ask that would allow Barbara to be able to get the rest that she needs. Allow her not to have her sleep interrupted in the evening time. Allow her to be able to sleep soundly for a good period of time. We do want to remember Kelly. We ask that you would give her comfort during this very, very hard time in her life. We ask that whatever the secondary sickness is will be able to be addressed and she'll be able to recover from that. We know that she has the cancer, but we do ask that would lengthen her days beyond what was prognosed. We do think of Albert and his need to recover from the surgery, allow him to be able to get the motion back and that the pain would not return for quite some time. And we do think of Haley, and we ask that we give her a safe delivery, allow this little girl to be healthy and be delivered fine and without any complications. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so thank you for coming today. We're in Leviticus chapter 16. So let's read some verses here. Mrs. Gormley, go ahead and read verse 1, please. And Barbara, you can read verse 2, and then Jacob, verse 3.
And the Lord spoke unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died.
And the Lord spoke to Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not, for I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat.
Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering.
He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with the linen girdle, and with them the linen mitre shall be he be attired. These are holy garments, therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on.
And he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats for a sin offering, and one ram for a burnt offering.
And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house.
And he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord. at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And so we're seeing here in the book of Leviticus, we are seeing the fact of the temporary remedies or coverings for the sin of Adam, and then consequently the sin of his descendants. We have the need for a system to be established. It's a temporary system. It's a system that's incomplete in a certain sense because Aaron, functioning as the high priest, Aaron died, and his son died, and his grandson died, and that person's son died, and so there's not the priesthood could not be continuing by the minister, by the same person. Nor could the sacrifices that were offered be efficacious for extended period for forever. It had to be for just the temporal time period. And so we have here an establishment of, and in a discussion through the book of Leviticus about certain types of procedures that had to be done. To where the word kafar is to cover, to atone, a temporary thing that had to take place for these people that lived during this time period in the Old Testament. Now, in the New Testament time period, we don't have the sacrificial systems. There's no need for a burnt offering, a meat offering, a sin offering, a peace offering, a trespass offering. There's no need for those offerings anymore because we have what's fulfilled in Christ's work on the cross of Calvary. That's fulfilled the picture. That's the antitype. The type, all these things in the Old Testament are types of what would be fulfilled on Calvary's cross. And we see also the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is the high priest, that his office continues on. It continues on. He rose from the dead about 2,000 years ago, and he's still serving as the priest, the high priest of heaven, of the heavenly temple. And so looking here at verse 1, we notice the reminder of death. The two sons of Aaron died. They died because they had offered this strange fire before the Lord, if you remember this. But they died prematurely. They were taken in death. God took them because of their specific sin. They were making the picture. They were destroying the picture of what the sacrificial system was about. And so consequently, just like when there's consequences when you destroy the picture. Moses destroyed the picture, and so he was punished. When he struck the rock twice, he wasn't killed immediately. But in this instance, we have the two sons of Aaron. He's got four sons: Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. These are the four sons of Aaron. And two of these sons died, and the scripture says after their death, the Lord spoke to Moses. And we see in verse 2, the Lord was going to appear. And he appeared upon the mercy seat. We see that the mercy seat is as we notice here in the passage, come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat. So we had this veil that's being discussed here separated the Ark of the Covenant. On top of the Ark of the Covenant, we have the mercy seat. And so the veil, there's a picture here of respect, certain respect that was forgiven. We have a system of the tabernacle. We have a picture of it over there on the wall over there on the right side over there. There's a picture of the tabernacle. It's the one that's furthest, closest to the Dill Avenue. And the front part of that tabernacle is actually inside that courtyard area, I'll call, for by lack of a better word, we have another tent of some sort. That's the tabernacle proper, I would say. And we have inside one part is the holy place, and the other part of it is the Holy of Holies. We can't see. We had a breakaway diagram of it someplace in some wall someplace recently. But we can't see that veil that's in between there. But it's there. Just think if we had a curtain that ran from this point of the wall to that point of the wall, that would separate this the part of the room I'm in and the part of the room that you're in. And so that's what the veil was in the holy place. We have the holy place and the most holy place. Okay, and so I guess we somebody found that was in the wall, so I will look at that briefly, and thank you for finding that and learning where that was at. Appreciate that. And so what we have here, the veil. Now, okay, so this talks about the coverings, the four tabernacle coverings here, if you can see, four tabernacle coverings. And I'll show this, I'll pass this around so you can see this. We've got the goat hair, we have the outer veil, the ram skin, all these different things. These are what goes on top of the thing, and we have the outer veil, but I'll pass this around the room so people can look at that. Thank you for finding that. But the Lord is telling the Moses, is saying to Moses here in this passage, he says, he says, speaking to Aaron, thy brother, who is the priest, who is the high priest, that he come not at all times, the key word there is all times, into the holy place within the veil. That's, in other words, that's referring to the Holy of Holies, before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not, for I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. When we talk about the cloud, that's where the Shekinah glory of the Lord is upon the cloud. Mrs. Grummer, in verse 3, what was Aaron to come into the holy place? With what was Aaron to come into the holy place?
A young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering.
Okay, so there's two types of animals and two types of offerings. The sin offering and the burnt offering. And we notice here the garments there, and where Aaron was to wear, wasn't wearing common garments. He was wearing holy garments. Holy garments. The scripture says, he put on a holy linen cloak, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with the linen girdle, and with a linen mitre upon his head. And these are holy garments, and because they're holy garments, he needs to wash his flesh with water before he puts them on. He washes his flesh with water because they are considered holy garments. The idea of garments that have been set aside for a particular purpose. Sometimes we have garments that we set aside for a particular purpose. If we're going to do some type of exercising, you know, go out to the gym. Like we were all at the gym this morning. I'm sure early this morning.
Oh yeah.
And we got our tennis shoes on. We got our sweatpants on. We have our sweatshirt on. So we have certain clothes that were set aside for the work in the gym. You know, we have other work that's set aside for the job that we do. You know, if we work someplace outside. You know, once we finish going to the gym, we might go to a job. Not everyone here has a job, right? I mean, they don't have a formal job they go to. They do jobs, they do works, but as far as they don't have to have a time clock they have to punch. But Tammy, you had a thought about that.
Well, and so today's churches, a lot of them, they don't have holy garments. I mean, they don't have things that they wear to church.
Mm-hmm.
They wear whatever they wear all the time.
Right.
To church, which shows sort of a casualness.
Mm-hmm. It does.
That isn't honoring to the Lord.
You're right. That does show a casualness. And so the idea of when people work at their place of business, sometimes they have a uniform they wear. You know, they got to wear, maybe they got to be certain color pants, and they have a certain special shirt they wear. Maybe they have a special hat they put on. When people do different jobs, or they have, when the guys deliver packages around here, you see them in a specific uniform. Those garments they wear, they're set aside for the job they do. They didn't wear those clothes when they went to the gym this morning. They wore their clothes today. Now, after work tonight, they may be going someplace special, and they have special clothes reserved for the space, the part that goes special. And as Tammy said, on Sunday, the Lord's Day, when people attend the Lord's house, they attend the Lord's services, when they attend on the Lord's Day, when they attend a service, some people have certain clothes they set aside, or certain types of clothes they set aside for that particular day. They're wearing their nicest, you know, if all they have is sweatpants, and they wear their nicest sweatpants. If all they have, they'll wear something that's specially set aside for the for the when they come together and they worship for worship and fellowship of other Christians. They have so now I'm bringing this up because we have here we see Aaron had special garments he was supposed to wear when he was doing the office of a priest. They're called holy garments. Holy garments. Now notice in verse 5, we see there were supposed to be two goats that Aaron was to take for a sin offering with verse 5. And so, Barbara, verse 6, what was Aaron to offer for himself and for his family? So it's to offer the bullock of the sin offering. And of course, this is not only for himself, but the scripture says it's also for his family. It's for his family as well. Notice in verse 7, where are the two goats to be presented? They're to be presented at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. There are certain ways that we're supposed to do things, and you weren't supposed to make this presentation outside, way away from the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. It would need to be right there at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So let's read some more verses. Mrs. Gromer, read verse 8, then Barbara verse 9, and so forth.
And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one for the Lord, and the other for the scapegoat.
And, sorry.
And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell and offer him for his sin offering.
But the goat on which the lot fell shall be the scapegoat, shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him, and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness.
And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself.
And he shall take a censer, full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, in his hands full of sweet incense beaten small, and bring it within the veil.
And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not.
And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle with his fingers upon the mercy seat, eastward. And before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood with his fingers seven times. Noticing here in verse 8, we see there's a way that these goats are going to be selected for different purposes, and that's done by lot. And there's two lots that are to be done. You have two goats, one lot, one's for the Lord, and one's going to be the scapegoat. So there's two. But among these two goats that are there, one is going to be let loose, and one's going to be offered as a sacrifice to unto the Lord. And we notice here in verse 9, Jacob, how is the Lord's goat to be offered? In verse 9,
it's
supposed to be offered as a sin offering. And we notice here now the other goat, who was considered the scapegoat, he's going to be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him and let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. So he's going to be released into the wilderness at the hand of a very strong and fit man. And who is to kill the sin offering? We notice here in verse 11, Aaron himself is to kill the burnt bullock. The sin offering, and he's going to make an atonement for himself and for his house, and so he will do the killing of the sin offering. Now, Bill, in verse 12, from where was Aaron to get the burning coals?
From the fire off the altar.
Yeah, again, a certain procedure that he's doing. He's going to the altar. And he's getting these coals, and so he's following a certain way of doing things. He's not getting it from someplace else. he's getting it from off the altar. And we notice here in verse 13, he's going to take this incense of fire before the Lord, and so when you come, the mercy seat's going to be covered, and you know, and the cloud of incense is going to cover the mercy seat, and the reason why this is happening is so he does not die, he's not slain. And we notice in verse 14, he's going to sprinkle this blood seven times. He takes his finger, puts his finger in the blood, and he sprinkles it seven times. Let's read a few more verses here. Mrs. Gurner-Romer, go ahead and read verse 15, and Barbara, verse 16, and so on.
Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat.
And he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions and all their sins, and so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation, that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness.
There shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make atonement in the holy place until he come out, to have made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel.
And he shall go out unto the altar that is before the Lord and make an atonement for it, and shall take the blood of the bullock and the blood of the goat, and put it upon the horns of the altar round about.
And he shall sprinkle the blood upon it with his finger seven times, and cleanse it, and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel.
And when he hath made an end of reconciling the holy place, and the tabernacle of the congregation, and the altar, he shall bring the live goat.
And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat, and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions and their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And so, Mom, in verse 15, what are offerings for the people?
The offering is for the people.
Yes.
The sin offering.
The sin offering, that's correct. And we notice here in verse 16, the atonement is made inside the holy place. And we see, and the only person that, nobody was supposed to be in the tabernacle of the congregation, no man was supposed to be there, when he goeth in to make this atonement. So the whole court area, the tabernacle in general was supposed to be emptied, and everything was supposed to be emptied when this was going on, this specific type of sacrifice. Now, when Tammy in verse 18, what was to be put upon the horns of the altar?
The blood of the bullock and the blood of the goat.
And so the altar's got horns on it, and so we're supposed to put those the blood upon, you know, each corner of the altar. And for how many times was the blood to be sprinkled? Seven times. Here we see that in verse 19. We saw that in other places as well. This principle of sprinkling the blood. And what was to be brought once reconciliation was to be ended?
Excuse me. What verse are we on now?
20.
Okay. Thank you.
And we see spring the live goat. Once the reconciliation is began, once the other goat was once the sacrifice was completed, in that, and you bring the live goat. That's when then and only then do you bring the live goat with you. And Mrs. Grummer, in verse 21, what was to be done with the live goat?
Aaron is to put his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess all the sins of the people, and then send it away.
Okay, so this live goat He puts his hands, he's identifying himself with the live goat. He's putting his hands upon it, both hands upon the live goat. And then you have the sins of the people being confessed, and then it's sent away into the wilderness. Let's read some more verses here, 22 and following. Mrs. Grummer, go ahead and read 22, please.
Shall he burn upon the altar.
And he that let go of the goat for the scapegoat shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in water, and afterwards come into the camp.
And the bullock from the sin offering, and the goat from the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make an atonement in the holy place, shall one carry forth without the camp, and they shall burn in the fire their skins and their flesh and their dung.
He that burneth him shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in water, and afterward he shall come into the camp. Alright, so we notice here in verse 22, where is the goat to be sent? We see he's going to go to be sent into a land that's not inhabited. And what is Aaron to leave in the tabernacle of the congregation? He's to leave his linen garments. He's going to put off those, remember this, the specific linen garments that were reserved for this purpose, his holy garments. He's going to leave them in the tabernacle, and he can just put on his other garments. And where was he to wash his flesh? Barbara, in verse 24, where was his flesh to be washed?
In the holy place. And the high priest actually had to completely wash himself 5 times during all this, and his set his hands in his feet 10 times.
Washing in the holy place, that's right, that's where he was to be washed. And what is to be brought upon the altar? We see here the fat of the sin offering. We noticed this in the earlier chapters about the fat, and the fat belongs to the Lord. And what is the one who would let go in the wilderness to do? So the one that let the go to the wilderness, he's to bathe himself and to wash his flesh in water. We notice this trend as well, as far as a lot of washing going on. Of course, washing, we have the symbolism, the picture of, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, the Word of God, the different things about the washing, the cleansing. It's necessary to be cleansed, to keep yourself pure, keep yourself separated. And so that's what he's supposed to do once he returned from leading the goat into the wilderness. And Jacob, in verse 27, what was to be burnt with fire? Bullock, okay? The bullock, that's right. And what must be done before coming to the camp? Again, we see here, he shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in water. Mrs. Grummer, let's read some more verses here, please. Verse 29.
When was the sacrifice? Oh, read?
Yes, read.
Mm-hmm. Right. And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth among you.
For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord.
And shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls by a statute forever.
And the priest whom he shall anoint, and whom he shall consecrate to minister in the priest's office in his father's stead, shall make the atonement, and shall put on the linen clothes, even the holy garments.
And he shall make an atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make an atonement for the tabernacle of the congregation, and for the altar, and he shall make an atonement for the priests and for all the people of the congregation.
And there shall be an everlasting statute unto you to make an atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. And he did as the Lord commanded Moses.
And so we notice here, verse 29, the sacrifice was to occur in a specific time, the seventh month, the tenth day of the month. That's when this particular sacrifice, most very, very most important sacrifice of all, was supposed to take place. Bill, in verse 30, what was the priest to do?
Make an atonement for you all day.
Okay, so it's going to be to cleanse you. It's going to make an atonement. And it's a thing that's going to be about one particular day, and for it's for all Israel. And so the purpose and the function is to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. So it's that's the function. Now that's the main job of the priest, is to make this offering. Now, looking at verse 31. What was to be afflicted during the Sabbath of rest? Now, this is the specific time here of time calling this the Sabbath of rest. This is verse, not necessarily any type of the seven feast days. They even no matter if they fell on this on the seventh day or if they fall on the seventh day, it was supposed to be considered a Sabbath. And so we see here. During this time period, they were to afflict. What was to be afflicted? They were to afflict their souls, and this is by statute. So this was a law and ordinance that they were supposed to do, kind of like we should do. As in during this church time period, during the time of the church, the age of the church, we need to examine ourselves. You know, specifically, even more importantly, before we observe the Lord's table. And during this time period, they were to afflict their souls. During this time period of when this atonement was being made for them. And we notice in verse 32, we see who was to put on the linen garments. We see the priest whom he shall anoint, who was consecrated to be ministered in the priest's office. He was the one. And it's a succession. Aaron and his sons and the sons of Aaron and so forth. It's a continual thing. But notice again, he mentions these holy garments again in verse 32. And we notice in verse 33, for whom is the atonement to be made in verse 33?
Can't remember it, I have to read it. And he shall make an atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make an atonement for the tabernacle of the congregation, and for the altar, and he shall make an atonement for the priests, and for all the people of the congregation. So he made an atonement for the holy sanctuary, for the tabernacle, for the congregation, for the altar, and an atonement for the priests and for all the people of the congregation.
Okay, good. And notice in verse 34, what was to be an everlasting statute? We notice here that this atonement that's offered once a year in the most holy place, this was supposed to be an everlasting statute, and that everlasting statute ceased when that veil in the temple was rent from top from the bottom, rent in two pieces, rent in twain, the scripture says, when the work of Calvary was completed. And when the work of Calvary was completed, there was no longer a need for this system anymore. Mrs. Gormer, in verse question 35, how important is the blood sacrifice? How important was the blood sacrifice?
35?
Yes, question 35. 35. How important was the blood sacrifice?
It should be burned upon the altar, that one?
No, it's 35, question 35. How important was the blood sacrifice?
How important is the blood sacrifice?
Yes.
Well, without the shedding of blood, the sins can't be forgiven.
Okay, that's right, blood. Blood's very important, isn't it? Barbara, what are your thoughts on the necessity of blood in sacrifices?
Basically, what Dale said, if there was no forgiveness without this, it was continual. It was continuous every day, twice a day, and on the feast it was even more so.
And noticing, going back to in the Garden of Eden, in fact, we have the two brothers, Cain and Abel. One brother had a sacrifice that had blood. It was a bloody sacrifice. The other brother had a bloodless sacrifice. He brought the vegetables and the fruit of the ground, and the fruit doesn't have blood. And yes, but blood is very important. So blood, Bill, how important is blood in the sacrifice system, would you say?
It goes back, I can't remember the exact verse, there's no remission of sin without blood.
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm. That's a statute that's forever.
Yes, it is. It is forever. Mom, what are your thoughts about the necessity of blood in sacrificial systems, Mom?
Well, God demanded, I guess, that the blood be shed for him to forgive. In the Old Testament, mm-hmm. they have a lot of animals, and mm-hmm. that was all looking forward to when Jesus would be on the cross and he would shed his blood. He would bleed. I don't think he bled all his blood, but without the shedding of blood is no remission.
All right, Tammy, your thoughts about the importance of blood in sacrifices.
Well, we have the same verse that Jesus has had, Acts 9:22,
mm-hmm.
and it was the temporary covering until Christ came and atones it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Hebrews. And Mrs. Grummer, verses from question 36. What does the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ mean to you and to the entire world? What does it mean to you and what does it mean to the entire world?
Number 36?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I can hear you now. What does the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ mean to you?
Yes.
Into the entire world. Well, the atonement of Jesus Christ is for keeps.
It is. It is for keeps. That's good. Mm-hmm.
It can be for keeps for the entire world if they want it.
That's right. How about you, Barbara? What are your thoughts about this question?
Well, let me answer the second half first.
Sure. Okay.
For God so loved the world.
Right.
It was for everybody of all times.
Mm-hmm.
Atonement means the bringing together two who have been enemies into a relationship of peace and friendship, Romans 5:11. The sins in the Old Testament could only be covered. Ours not only get covered, they get put away. They are no more. God doesn't remember them. They don't exist. So what does it mean for me? It means that only through the blood of Jesus Christ can I even begin to think about approaching God or come to Him, and that He made the way for me to be reconciled or to be atoned.
Yeah, so the idea of the unconditional covenant we have with God, God's one-sided. God did everything. He's provided salvation for us. It's one-sided. All we have to do is we have to accept that. You know, there's the conditional type of covenant. We'll read this through the book of Genesis, you know, with Abraham, and God made an unconditional covenant with him. And then we also see Abraham making a conditional covenant with other people. But the covenant God makes is unconditional, and but people have to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior in order to appropriate his righteousness. Jacob, what are your thoughts about this question?
Yeah, Pastor Dan, there's so much here, and you know, Hebrews explains so much of this.
It does. Mm-hmm.
You know, in the millennium, we were studying that prophecy, when we had the prophecy class by that J.D. Wright Benninger.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The things to come.
Mm-hmm.
It put it on that book that in the millennial kingdom, there won't be the celebration of this Day of Atonement, but they're going to celebrate the Jubilee.
Mm.
Right. And I always talk about the New Testament. It's still the New Covenant sealed with Mm-hmm. But you have to go back to that that thing that all the unconditional promises, all the unconditional covenants are wrapped up in.
Mm-hmm.
Is the promise he made to Abraham in Genesis 12, 1 through 3 through 7, and confirmed that to him when he wanted a confirmation over in Genesis 15. And when you see what he did for Abraham and how he went through the pieces like a smoking lamp,
mm-hmm.
smoking furnace, I think it is.
Yes.
But this is also wrapped up in this. This is the law, but it's covering so much more than that. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's pointing back to that promise to Abraham, and it's pointing to the cross, and now what this means, he's already done this, and it's pointing back to the cross and to his second coming, and then the kingdom. It's pointing back to what he did at the second coming, but that's also with the cross. It is so. There's so much here. I can't even touch the edge of it.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many scriptures. Hebrews explains all this.
It does. It does. Your thoughts, Bill, on this question?
All of the sacrifices that were done by Israel are ritualistic.
Mm-hmm. They're
man-centered, and they're temporary. What Christ has done, he did one time, and he did it because no human could do it.
Mm-hmm.
He took upon himself what we could not do.
Right.
That's a vital part. We can't save ourselves. We can't get God to forgive us from our sins. We can ask, which is basically what they're doing mm-hmm. there. But the act of actually forgiving our sins, providing the blood offering acceptable to God,
mm-hmm.
Was done by Jesus Christ, because it only had to be done one time.
Yes, that's right.
Offered to mm-hmm. everyone, everyone who would accept it and mm-hmm. Believe in it.
Yes.
Those who don't, they're lost.
Right, they are. That's true. Very sad. Very sad. Your thoughts on this question, Mom?
Well, I was sitting here thinking, mm-hmm. how much of his blood did Jesus shed? How much left his veins? And then he took his blood to heaven,
mm-hmm.
presented before the mercy seat there, or whatever's there. So how much blood?
Well, you have to be careful in that vein of thinking, because there are some people that are minimizing the blood of Christ. And say that they say there was a metonym, it's a figure of speech for death.
Okay.
I understand you're not coming at it with that question. You're not asking that question, but that's perhaps where this other line of thinking came from. Was all of it necessary? You're wondering, or just a little bit of it? And so when you get to when you postulate the fact that just a little bit, Then you get on dangerous ground of minimizing the blood of Christ, So what would be wrong with it? It'd be all of it. When you go through this type of execution, there's I don't think there's any blood left by the time you die. You may die in the blood time, but I think it's a complete, very, 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 very horrible death that the Lord Jesus Christ had upon him from a physical standpoint, and then from a spiritual standpoint, it was even far greater than that, because he took the sins of the world upon him, past, present, and future. Bill, your thought?
I don't know how he could have had enough blood to shed, because don't forget. He began paying for our sins before he was even nailed onto the cross, while he was being whipped mm. and scourged. That cat of nine tails or that Roman whip with the shards of glass and nails that were in that,
mm-hmm.
ripping the flesh off of his back. I can't imagine the kind of blood
mm-hmm.
that he must have shed at that point.
Right.
And then to continue the suffering while carrying his cross up to Calvary, then getting nailed onto that cross, and then his weight pulling on those nails. You know, that is that's beyond comprehension.
And when the centurion or the guard he pierced his side with a spear, and I can the water and the blood. So there was some blood that was left in there after he died, I suppose, but that was the remainder, perhaps. Tammy, your thought about this question?
Well, I guess when I first, I mean, I'm not sure if I'm going to directly answer the question or immediately answer
it. It's okay.
But when I was reading this chapter, I thought of this chapter. This is the Day of Atonement.
Yes.
Which was once a year in the seventh month, the tenth day of the month. Which it doesn't really come right out and say that, but it's pretty clear.
Yes, it is.
If you look at all the verses. Mm-hmm. I mean, Barbara recognized that, but
right.
But I mean, we didn't specifically talk about that, so I just wanted to say
good.
That.
Good, thank you.
So,
excuse me, could she repeat what she wanted to say? Because Bill went out and I didn't get to hear it.
I mean, okay. She's talking about it's the Day of Atonement here that's being outlined.
Okay.
Was there what you wanted to say anything more than that?
I thought she said something, but that's okay. It's all right.
You want to? Do you need some more batteries?
No.
No.
I can't remember everything that I said.
It's okay.
Basically,
I was just saying that this is the chapter on the Day of Atonement.
Yes.
It was good.
That's.
That's
right. And the whole idea of the atonement, that we had the bullock that Aaron offered
yes.
for his sins and for his family, and then we had the two goats, the one that became the one of atonement, which was the scapegoat. Which was, I thought that was sort of interesting that it was the scapegoat that had all the sins laid upon
yes.
him, and then he was released into the wilderness. And Christ pictured both of those, I think, because he was crucified without the camp.
Yes, he was.
Without the gate, without the city.
Yes.
And and the sins were laid upon him, but he was also like the other because he was actually slain. And the whole idea of the atonement of Jesus Christ. I mean, it was a permanent once for all type of offering, as opposed
yes.
to that this atonement happened every year.
Right.
Which kind of Barbara did point out a little bit earlier. And then it doesn't need to ever be repeated what Christ did. And as opposed to an animal's blood, it was the perfect God-man's blood.
Yes.
So it was perfect blood, and these others weren't even human blood. They were the blood of animals.
Yes, that's right.
So, I mean, you think about the difference of God's blood versus man's blood, or animal.
Right, that's right.
And then, to the entire world, it just tells me that this once for all salvation is available to the whole world. If they would just accept it.
Yes. That's right. Thank you. Any more thoughts or comments about this this chapter or this discussion we've been having today? If not, let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we want to thank Thee that the Lord Jesus Christ, Thy only begotten Son, became flesh, lived on this earth, and was offered upon Calvary's cross for our sin, and rose again the third day, and now is seated at Thy right hand, making intercession for us. Thank You for the redemptive work of Calvary and for the salvation that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
What silly gadget is this?
Okay, folks. It was a good study, and we'll see you Sunday.
Bye,
Mrs. Brummer. Bye, Barbara. Bye, Jacob.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye, Carolyn. Bye, everybody.
Bye. We'll see everybody. Thanks for coming. By way of phone.
Chapters. How many? 10?
We're
oh, wow, this is really a short one, isn't it?